Christ. Amen. You may be seated. As I said earlier, the text for our message this morning is our Old Testament reading from Psalm 136. Verse 1 again says this: "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever." This is our text. Now let's be clear. Today is neither a worldwide holiday, nor even historically a church holiday. And yet, all across our nation today, people supposedly are thankful. Fishermen are thankful for an abundant catch. Businessmen and women are thankful for year-end profits. Wives and husbands are thankful for a secure home. Children are thankful for caring parents who love them. And all of these are right, good, and pleasing to God. For God is the one who does so much to provide for us every day. As Martin Luther says in his explanation to the first article of the Apostles' Creed, God, quote, "richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life," unquote. So we should never make light of or take for granted the many things that God does right now, today, for us as we live in this world. However, in order to put things in their proper perspective, it is necessary for us to regularly remember what He had already done for us before we even came into this world. And also to steadfastly believe what He will do for us after we leave this world. So first, let's consider what He had already done for us. The greatest event in the history of the world took place centuries before anyone in this congregation was ever born. And yet, it took place for our benefit. And no, I'm not talking about the signing of the Magna Carta, or the victory of Wellington over Napoleon at Waterloo, or even the death of Julius Caesar, even though those are generally considered to be very decisive elements in world history. And Psalm 136 begins in verses 4 through 9, reminding us that God, quote, "alone does great wonders," pointing us to remember God's omnipotent work in creating the entire universe in just 6 24-hour days as a foundational reason for us to offer our gratitude every day toward Him. I mean, He is the only reasonable explanation, and yes, I said reasonable explanation, for the way that the earth rose above the waters, as He says. He made and placed the great lights in the only place that they could be, so that the sun would rule over the day and the moon and stars would rule over the night. Even secular scientists have to admit that there are far too many variables that exist. The only way that this universe, solar system, and planet could exist so that we are able to live and survive as we do. For this to be just an accident or a lucky occurrence. If the earth, for example, were just the smallest amount closer or further away from the sun, or rotated only slightly faster or slower, etc., we would not be here. And to believe that all of that organization throughout all of nature could just randomly come together as it has is to believe in something far more impossible than the facts that God has revealed to us in Scripture about His enduring love for us in creating and caring for us in this world. So that's creation. Is that the greatest event in history? Well, then, in verses 10 through 12, the psalmist recounts God's saving work in the Exodus. How he, quote, struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. Is that the greatest event in history? Well, neither one of these is the greatest event. Those mind-boggling events of God's steadfast love still only pointed God's people forward to the greatest event in all of history, which is this entire world's own redemption. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. That love, that sacrifice that God gave to and for us, that is priceless. I mean, He was not obligated to provide any way of salvation for mankind. No one forced the Father to send His Son into the world, and yet He did it anyway. Why? Because of His steadfast love for us. From the time that He created the world, God knew that on this specific day in history, every single one of us would meet here in this church to have a service of thanksgiving toward Him. He also knew that unless He sent a Savior into the world, every single one of us would deservedly be doomed to eternal condemnation. And so Holy Scripture is very clear that God loved us, that He had mercy for us long before we were ever born. He knew of our pitiful state, saturated entirely with sin and guilt. And so in His grace, at the right time, He sent us a Savior. And we remember the good news that those few shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night first received when an angel appeared to them and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Yes, with that birth of Christ, the redemption of the world was begun. However, it wasn't until 33 years later that God's saving work was finally finished. For years, our Savior grew up on this earth, much like children still grow up today. He thirsted as we thirst. He hungered as we hunger. He was tempted by Satan in every way that we are tempted, according to Hebrews 4:15. But He never once fell to sin, as we so often do. When He was cursed, He did not curse back. When others made Him suffer, He never once threatened them back. Even when He was dying on the cross, what did Jesus do? He asked, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He prayed for His enemies. And as we know, God's plan did not end when Jesus died there on the cross. No, 3 days later, remember what happened when the two Marys went to the tomb with ointments and spices for the body? On their way to the tomb, their primary worry was what? Who will roll away the stone for us? And they soon found out that their worries were needless. Just as so many of your worries and my worries are needless today. Because, why? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Well, we can say that when it's not Easter. Of course we can. And on that glorious day, it had been 33 years since the angels gave that first message to the shepherds in the field. But now, instantly, redemption was no longer only a plan in the mind of God. It was forever from that day an accomplished historical fact. Now, redemption has been won for all humankind, so that all can be free from the power of sin, Satan, and the fear of death. Yes, this undisputed freedom that God gained for us through the saving work of His Holy Son, it was achieved for us long before we were ever conceived or born. But that's still not all. God did not stop doing things for you and me after our redemption was gained. After all, what good is freedom if no one tells the slaves about it, right? So God also preserved a means, an avenue, a way by which men, women, and children like you and me, who now live hundreds of years after Christ's ministry on earth, can still know of Jesus and His work. I'm talking, of course, about His giving and preserving of the Holy Scriptures. God has protected His holy and inspired Word through every natural and unnatural catastrophe that you can think of. He saw to it that the Bible survived through earthquakes, through fires, floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, and volcanoes. And all of that for only one reason. Because He loves you and me. Because He wants you and me to read His life-saving, life-giving message. A message so simple that even a child can understand it. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That message is not complicated, folks. And yet it is unfathomably profound. Because unless we know of God's love from the Bible, we can know nothing of our eternal salvation. You see, all of that God has done for us before we were ever born. He promised and He provided redemption for us. And He preserved the Bible through hundreds of years just so that we can know today of His saving work for us. And He's still not done. He wanted even more grace to be poured out upon us. And so He promised to send us His Holy Spirit so that through the Spirit's work, each one of us would realize the importance of the Bible's message. And through His gift of faith, we would then believe without any doubt that it is God's perfectly relevant and meaningful message for us right now in 2004. Right here. Without the Holy Spirit's work, friends, you and I would care less or not at all for the truths contained in Holy Scripture. Why? Because we're sinners. Because left by ourselves, we would want nothing to do with God. And instead, we'd be perfectly content to lead our lives of sin. That's our earthly nature from birth. Wanting nothing to do with God. Nothing to do with His righteousness. Wanting to come up with all of the excuses that we hear in the world about how this Jesus guy and this Christian religion thing and this Bible thing, it's all worthless. It's just made up. It's blah, 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 blah. That's life without the Spirit. Just like darkness has nothing to do with light, neither would we have anything to do with God. If it weren't for the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us. so you see how much God loves us? How much he has done for us even before we were born? How can we ever even begin to adequately thank him for these great blessings? But God did not stop with preparing great blessings for us just before we came into the world. Right now, at this very moment, friends, he has prepared even greater things than all that we just recounted in the future for us. Whenever it is that we leave this world. That's right. Our life with him in heaven will be like nothing we have ever known or seen before. On that great day, at the end of the world, God promises in his word that Satan and all of his evil angels will be cast into hell forever. That means no longer will you and I even be tempted to think, say, or do anything against our loving Father's perfect will. What will that be like? So many people over the centuries have spent far too much time trying to figure out exactly what heaven will be like. Will it be a place up in the sky? Will it be right here on a recreated earth? Will it look like a palace with golden streets and pearly gates? Well, we can spend so much time dwelling on all of those questions, but that is not how God wants us to spend our time in this life. This much we know, though. We know for sure. Listen to God's word from Revelation 21, verses 3 and 4. John says, "And I heard a voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" Whatever you imagine, it will be different than that. But as long as I know that from Revelation, folks, heaven is absolutely the place where I want to be. Because yes, the very same Jesus that God the Father sent us in his love, the one who lived and died, the one who rose again so that we might have eternal life, that's the Lord we will see then and there in the flesh, face to face. He is the same Lord who will wipe away all of our tears, the same Lord who with the Father and the Holy Spirit will take care of us as our loving shepherd and as our almighty King forever and ever. Now, most of us, in some way today, appreciate God, how God blesses and provides for us every day of our lives. And we are thankful that he supplies us with so many temporal blessings: food, drink, house, clothing, money, government, good weather, peace, health, friends, and family. And I'm sure that we could add to that list and make it so much longer. And it's good for us to remember all of these things as expressions and evidence of his steadfast love that endures forever. And it's good to thank him today and every day for them. Yet hopefully, as we now know, as the psalmist reminds us, we must never let these temporal blessings overshadow the far greater spiritual blessings that God has given us in Jesus Christ. As verses 23 and 24 close out the psalm, he remembered us in our low estate, That is, in the deepest depths of our sin. And he rescued us from our foes, those of Satan and death itself. It is only through Jesus that you and I are fully forgiven, that we have received eternal life. And there can be no greater gift, no greater gift than that undeserved reward of eternity in heaven. This is why on Thanksgiving Day, it is so important for us not only to remember our blessings, but that we keep those blessings in the proper perspective as free gifts from Christ alone. Because he must be the first and the greatest reason for us to give thanks today and every day. Because he is the one who won our salvation long before we came into this world. And he's the one with the Father and the Holy Spirit who has heaven waiting for us when we leave this world. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. For he is good, and his steadfast love for us endures forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds, and keep you in the steadfast love of Jesus Christ, today and forever. Amen.